And chilly, 39 degrees if you average the temperatures around the areas, working eventually to a high of 56. Tomorrow, warming a little bit, going up to 65. Then it cools off again. Highs of only 51 on Thursday, 64 Friday, 60 on Saturday, which is kind of around where we should be for this time of year. 55 for a high on Sunday, 61 as we begin the week. So looking really from now through the weekend dry and cool. So all in all, not too bad. Again, right now, 39 degrees if you average the temperatures throughout the area. Things are heating up over at LSU, and Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. It seems like things are humming along at LSU. Tell me about the newest acquisition.
Well, we've been waiting for it. We thought maybe we'd come a little bit sooner as far as finding a starting quarterback for next season, but LSU finally secured one yesterday, and that being Sam Levitt, someone we've been talking about now for more than a week. If you remember, it was a week ago Monday when he arrived at LSU to begin a multi-day visit that started off great, seemed like everything was all great, and then all of a sudden news broke that Damon Williams, the starting quarterback at Washington, a player that Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator for the Tigers, have had their eyes on since high school. In fact, Williams committed to Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss before eventually signing with Arizona and then transferring to Washington. When it was broke that he was entering the transfer portal, Damon, things got icy between Lane and Sam Levitt. And Sam Levitt left on Wednesday to go visit Tennessee. Lane went to Knoxville on Friday to salvage the relationship after Damon Williams announced on Thursday that he was staying at Washington. Levitt went on to Miami to visit with the Hurricanes, and then eventually they were able to work out something where Levitt decided LSU was the best place for him. So I think this is great news for LSU. We talked about it before, Tommy. You're not going to have them in spring football. You do have some concerns about that Liz Frank injury. I think that's another reason why LSU took serious consideration in looking at Damon Williams, is maybe that's a better option than Sam Levitt. But with Damon staying at Washington, really Levitt was the best option out there for LSU. And they call him the Portal King for a reason. Lane Kiffin was eventually able to get it done and secure it, and Levitt did sign. I know there was reports yesterday that Tennessee was making a late push, but Levitt has signed. So it's Sam Levitt as QB1, Landon Clark from Elon QB2, and there's still a possibility that LSU adds another quarterback, that being Hussein Longstreet from USC.
So let's go back and unpack one little item at a time here. How binding is whatever it is that the quarterback signed, the Liz Frank guy? How binding is that? How assured, how etched in stone is that?
Well, I think we saw it with the situation with Damon Williams. Now that you're talking about revenue sharing, and you're actually getting money from, because a lot of this is obviously NIL money, but some of this is also money that is passing through the school to the player, student athlete. So now these contracts, and I think we saw this with, and I'm not a contract expert legal guy, right. but I think what you saw with Damon Williams, there are more protections in these contracts so that these players do not back out of them or cannot back out of them. Or if they do, they will have to significantly pay or, you know, give a basic pay a significant buyout. From what I understand, Levitt's contract does have, and you do, you call these things contract, you call these agreements, deals, contracts. There are protections in there in case Levitt does not play this full season because of this foot injury. But in the end, if he suits it up for 12 games and plays really well, you're looking at something where, you know, he's making, you know, north of $5 million this year. So it's probably the best deal out there. I mean, for him at this point, he could have gone, you know, Miami was also, it's got to be very attractive with Miami because, you know, look at what they did, what they've done here the last 2 years. You know, they went out and they got Cam Ward 2 years ago. Cam Ward ends up being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft here this season. Of course, they go get Carson Beck. Miami's in a national championship game. That's a pretty good selling point to any quarterback that has dreams of playing in a national championship game or playing in the NFL or being a highly drafted quarterback. So that was a big push. The Tennessee situation was interesting because Tennessee is also hoping that their starting quarterback for this past season, Joey Aguilar, gets a medical redshirt or a medical hardship to play another season in the NCAA. And his situation is not as cloudy as Trinidad Chambliss. So it was interesting to see Tennessee make such a strong push for Levin as well.
So many questions. Let me take a break. We'll start again unpacking when we come back. Real quick before we go to the break, all things being equal, do you think Lane Kiffin would rather Damon Williams over Sam Levitt or not?
I think so. I mean, the Liz Frank injury is certainly a question, and Damon Williams put up some big-time numbers last year. I mean, you're talking 3,000-plus yards. I think there's the familiarity with him since his high school days. But, you know, that's water under the bridge at this point, Tommy. I mean, Sam Levitt was really, when the portal window opened, Levitt was that was one of their top targets. That was the guy they wanted, and it got sidetracked there for a few days, but you got the train back on the tracks, and this is the guy they're going with, and I think it's about as good as LSU can get considering the options that were out there.
All right, let me take a break. Somebody texted in yesterday, and I didn't get it until a couple of minutes ago. Has LSU hired a quarterback yet? I didn't understand the comedy there until I realized the verb hired. 6:21 traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Beautiful sunrise. Orange beneath the Crescent City connection, gray above, and in between you got purple and gold lit up the bridge, and some people are texting in about some issues with having a hard time hearing us here or there or the other where. They're working on it. We apologize for any inconvenience, but we'll do whatever we can to make sure that you don't miss a word of Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network news director. So when it comes to Sam Levitt himself, the quarterback, tell me about this guy.
Well, one of the things I like about this kid is, and I had a chance to speak with someone who covered him at Arizona State, Michelle Gardner at the Arizona Republic, and she said he's got this it factor, and you love to hear stuff like that. I mean, he's someone that won a state championship at the high school level in Oregon. He won a conference championship on the college level. I got a story that should be up at WWL.com, kind of talking a little bit more about Sam Levitt's history. But, you know, he started out at Michigan State. Michigan State has a horrendous year in 2023. Their coach gets fired over sexual harassment allegations and stuff like that. So he transfers back out west to Arizona State. And he got off to, I don't want to say a slow start, but it took him a while to kind of get going there at Arizona State. But eventually he really took off, and it was him and Cam Scataboo, who of course is the New York Giants running back, who just had a good rookie season until he got hurt. But but Levitt really was terrific, especially down the stretch. They played a lot of close games that season. He made some big plays, not only with his arms, but his legs. He's not going to be your dynamic runner as Jaden Daniels is, but he's very, very effective. He's a guy. He's very elusive. He can break tackles. And, you know, another kind of interesting thing that I like about him, one, his dad played college football. His brother played in the NFL. When he was in high school, he played at a different high school every single year. He started out 1 year at Oregon. COVID comes. Apparently, maybe they didn't play high school football in Oregon in 2020. So he goes and plays at a school in Utah, comes back, goes back to the high school that he was at his freshman year. And then his senior year, he went to another high school and went to a state championship. So this is a kid that seems like he can adapt pretty quickly to the situation where he's at, and he can succeed. And that's what you want, right? You want a guy that's, right. Especially in this transfer portal era where these guys are – moving one place to another, you hope that they can have success right away. So this could be fun. Let's just hope everything is good with the Liz Frank injury, and this is the kind of quarterback that I think you would want with Lane Kiffin in year one.
From everything I'm hearing, everything I'm reading, and you have an excellent article at WWL.com, who is LSU's new quarterback, one Sam Levitt. Other than the Liz Frank, it seems like, man, just about every box is checked off, so it's hard not to be optimistic.
Yeah, and makes good decisions with the football. Very few interceptions, and even though his season was cut short in 2025 because of that foot injury, he still had some good games, including the win over Texas Tech. The Arizona State handed Texas Tech its only loss in the regular season, so he played very well in that game despite a bad foot.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it as always. Y'all go to WWL.com. You can find Jeff's story, who is LSU's new quarterback, one Sam Levitt. Very well written, very well researched, as always. A pleasure. 6:30, we come back. We'll talk about the flu, and we'll talk about being a weather spotter and more. Right now, though, it is time for WWL First News, and for that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Chilly start this Tuesday morning, January 13th. Thanks for getting it going with us here on WWL. I hope you're feeling well. I hope you don't have the flu, but a lot of people do. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us now, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Morning, Dr. Fred. How are you?
Good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me about flu or super flu. What's going around?
Yeah, lots of flu. Still very high levels of flu-like illnesses in Louisiana. We've been like that for over a month. Maybe plateaued to tailing off a little bit, but still very high levels. In fact, the highest levels in the United States, along with a few other states. So it does look like lots of people are getting the flu. It's being transmitted, and you need to be aware of that. And if you haven't been vaccinated, it's still not too late. The super flu that you're referring to is the fact that when we look at flu year to year, there are usually two types of flu that cause illness. It's either type A or type B. 90% of what we're seeing this year is type A so far. Within type A, there are two different strains that predominate. The big one this year is H3N2. Again, so far this year it is H3N2. 90% of what we're seeing in terms of the subtypes are H3N2. And when you look at those 90% of the H3N2, there's one strain that's really overwhelmingly pervasive, and that's this subclade K influenza virus. More than 90% of what we're seeing is this subclade K. And the reason that's important is that this strain that's predominating throughout the United States is not an exact match with the strain that's included in the flu vaccine this year. So what's in the flu vaccine this year is closely related to subclade K, but it's not an exact match. So unclear exactly what that's going to mean, except to say that the immunity may not be as strong against this super flu strain, as it's called. And as a result, we should be still getting vaccinated, because what's in the vaccine this year does still provide some protection even against this super flu strain. So don't think that because it's not an exact match that it's not going to help you. It is still going to protect you from having complications, including hospitalization, and hopefully preventing deaths that are already being reported all across the United States.
When we talk about protection, it's not all or nothing at all, right? It's not either you get the flu or you don't. It's not I don't know if that'd be a zero-sum game or not, but it's about the complications that you have if you do get it, if you have been vaccinated, or if you have not been vaccinated.
Yeah, really excellent point, Tommy. The flu vaccine prevents some illnesses, but it doesn't. That's not its real goal. The real goal of the flu vaccine is to prevent the complications, including hospitalizations. It's already this year been reported that there have been 180,000 hospitalizations from the flu, and it's also value is to prevent death. And this year, so far to date in this country, 7,400 deaths from flu. So that's where the flu vaccine really is designed to be most effective. It's against complications, including hospitalizations and deaths. It may not prevent illness, but if you get illness, it's going to be less severe.
What are some of those complications, and what are some of the symptoms of this super flu?
The same as they are of the flu. You're still going to get the congestion, the cough, the sore throat, the fever, the muscle aches that make you feel like a truck just hit you. Those are all still the same symptoms that you're going to see with this super flu subclade K strain that's pervasive right now in the United States. And the complications, like I said, include hospitalizations from pneumonia, from just the illness itself. And unfortunately, again, death can occur from the flu. Don't take it lightly.
And there is some lead time, but it's still not too late to get vaccinated.
Still not too late. But remember, it takes 2 weeks to develop immunity from that flu vaccine.
Thank you, Dr. Fred. Appreciate it as always. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, 651. We come back, we'll talk about being a weather spotter. Huh? We'll find out. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 657, 3 till 7, joined by Chris, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Christopher Bannon, meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Tell you about how you can be a sky-worn weather spotter. How you doing, Christopher?
Doing great. How you doing this morning?
I'm all right, man. I love that name. Sky-worn weather spotter sounds serious. What do you? Who can be one, and what exactly do those duties entail if you become one?
Really, pretty much anybody can become a sky-worn spotter. It's geared towards just about everybody, but usually the first people we encourage to take it is anyone who has an interest in public service. So volunteers, but also include police officers, fire personnel, dispatchers, any type of EMS workers, even public utility workers, but concerned citizens as well. Basically, we teach the basics of thunderstorm development, fundamentals of storm structure, how to identify potential severe weather features, and then how to report it. And that's the biggest thing, because what the Sky-Worn Spotter program is, it's basically our eyes on the ground. We're in the office. We can't see anything. Our radar is, you know, limited to an extent, especially with the curvature of the earth. We start shooting higher up in the thunderstorms as it gets further out. Satellite can only see so much. Once clouds move in, we don't see it. So our best information is the public, getting the information to us, people eyes on the ground and getting that information here.
I don't think people realize that. I know with my job how, you know, people want to know about the traffic with the fog. They want to know about the weather. They want to know about this. We're in a room surrounded by equipment and instruments and this and that and the other thing. You so more than me. But the point I'm making is you need eyes on the ground, right? That's what helps a lot.
Absolutely. I've always been pushing that my entire career, is that the more people that can report to us what they actually see, the better and faster we can get warnings out and keep the public safe.
How do you become involved with this program, Christopher, if you're interested?
If you're interested, you can go to our website. It's weather.gov/LIX. And /skywarn, and it's SKYWARN, and you can register for any of our online classes or keep an eye on the schedule when we do have in-person classes.
I have a friend that's an amateur meteorologist. I know she would love to be a part of this, and I think a lot of people would, and I think they could do a lot of good as well. So again, give me that one weather catch-all, that one website catch-all.
That website again is weather.gov/LIX/skywarn.
All right.
And we have our first class tonight.
All right, sir. Good luck.